We promised two in a week. And for the first time in a really long time, we're living up to that promise. It's a fresh episode of the pod, the Call to Arms podcast, as usual, recorded from the Gatorade studio. It is produced and made possible by the amigo, Toby from HR. Original art is by Alan Martin. Original theme music is a track called Tropical Vikings by Careless Music Manila. Shout out to King Wow, Mr. Brett Jackson. We have my wife on the pod today. We're going to do an episode of the 10. It's going to be one of her many appearances on the podcast moving forward. I'm set, she's set. My name is Nico Ramos. Let's go. This is the Call to Arms podcast.
Something going on around the islands. Money flowing wherever I've been promised. Just another Viking in the tropics. Taking over, trying to stop this novice. Make it killing, I'm finna conquer. I'm a dreamer, the floor is lava. Something going on around the islands.
Welcome to the pod, folks. It is the 10, and we have my wife on the podcast. This is her, third time on the pod.
Cool.
Most appearances by anyone on the podcast. And this is something that we're going to do moving forward as we anticipate our baby.
And we're having a baby.
It's a few months away. It's a few months away. So there's a lot of podcasts to do between now and then. So we're doing the 10. So, babe, the 10 works like this. I have 5 things.
Yes.
You've prepared 5 things. And we're going to alternate and talk about these 5 things and whatever it is that we bring up. There's a high chance of redundancy here because what I experience, you experience.
And yes.
That's all we've been doing is just sharing experiences. But I get to go first. I get to go first. All right. Okay. The 10 with Mrs. Ramos, the one, the only, Miss Bea Fabregas Ramos, starts right now. Number one on the list. Number one on my list with a bullet. Naomi Osaka is skipping.
Gosh, that was part of my list.
Oh, that's one down. That's one down. But Naomi Osaka is skipping the French Open.
Yes.
After I have choice words for the people who organize the French Open, but let's not
get into that. Yeah, sure.
But after the organizers of the French Open, I assume, sent her a pretty firmly worded letter or reaction to her saying she wants to skip all required press and media availability for this Grand Slam. She just doesn't want to do it. She wants to protect her mental health, take care of her mentals, in the words of the great Marshawn Lynch. They said no, probably, or they probably offered a hefty fine.
They fined her $15,000 first for skipping the first one.
Mm-hmm. And I think Naomi did the math and she was like, if it's 15 for the first one.
Yeah, and she's going to make it to the finals.
I want to play until the final. It's going to be a ton of money. So she said deuces and I'm out.
No, but there was also like some, they kind of mentioned that suspension for future Grand Slams could be like in the works if she continues to do this. So there was that, I guess.
The threat?
Yeah, I didn't want to say threat, but yes, threat? It's a threat.
These are the same people who banned and fined Serena Williams when she wore the black cat suits at the French Open, which was specifically
for blood
designed to prevent blood clots for women who had just given birth, which is what Serena Williams was experiencing at that time. So these same people are at it again.
Okay, so I want to say that when she first posted that she wasn't going to be taking doing media and press conference, she didn't explain it very well. It was just a random, I remember I was like half awake and I was just like, oh, okay, she just want to do press. Got it. Noted. And I didn't really have a problem with it, but I just felt like her initial way of announcing it could have been done better. And she said that when she withdrew from the tournament.
Sure.
So, I mean, she's aware of that, but that isn't the issue here. I just think that it's such a power move that she's just like, bye. Bye. Wow. No, like, she is tennis now. I mean, Serena Williams, we're all waiting for that one more, right? But After Serena, it's Naomi Osaka. She is the future. She is the player to watch. She is fantastic on the court. And tennis is a better sport because she's here now.
For those of you who don't follow tennis, this is Luka Doncic saying,
bye.
I'm not playing in the playoffs because you guys are not open to the notion that for the protection of my own mental health,
yeah,
I don't want to subject myself to these interviews, which as someone who's conducted these interviews, maybe not in tennis, but, you know, in similar fashion for a living, they can't get very repetitive. They can get very painful, especially after losses for an individual sport like tennis.
Yes,
for
exactly. Someone at a young age. Yes.
It doesn't matter. You know what? I take that back. It doesn't even matter what age you are. But if you're trying to protect your mental health, for me, that's everything you need to say.
And speaking of the NBA, props to Kyrie and to Steph for just be like, you do you, queen. Like, we love that you're thinking of yourself first and you're taking the high road. But yeah, back to the power move. We need her. We need her. So I'm just like, fix it, because I need her in like every Grand Slam for the next 20 years. I'm not even kidding. She's like, she's insane. She's crazy. She's so good. And I think this will actually possibly open the door for Serena to win, because like, she's not here right now. But because she's that scary. Nakakatakot siya. So tennis needs to figure that out. Mm-hmm. They really need to get their ish together, because we need her.
Tennis, I feel, needs Naomi Osaka just as much as Naomi Osaka needs tennis. Because if she decides, and this is not going to happen, the odds and chances of this going to happen is astronomical. But if she decides, I'm out.
Like, never playing
like
again.
Like, I'm out, like, forever. I'm not joining Grand Slams anymore. I'm just playing exhibitions with other pros in the offseason. I'm making my money through that route. By the way, Naomi, give us a call. We can fix this up for you. I have an entire business model for you to do outside the Grand Slams. But if she says, I'm out, that is a huge, massive blow to tennis. Not just because they lose the most interesting young player, male or female, on tour right now, arguably the most talented person that they've had on tour at that age right now. She also represents so much as a woman of color who's African-American and Asian.
And who speaks on these issues as well.
She is the Gen Z athlete, if we've ever...
And she's dating Cordae.
And that's my biggest point. We're going to lose Cordae at Wimbledon.
Excuse me.
The one thing I want the most is Cordae at Wimbledon. And just seeing him in the stands for the biggest tournament of the year. But yeah, this is going to be very, very tricky. Devil's advocate, because people will say, well, giving interviews is part of an athlete's
job. And people will also say, she can... be like, okay, sure, fine me, because you have endorsements. She has the endorsements. She has all this money. And other athletes that may, you know, could be having, like, depression and anxiety issues as well, $15,000 is just like, okay, I'm fine. I'll just suck it up and do the interview, right? It's not worth it. So it's so tricky. There really is an argument, and there really needs to be, like, a proper discussion here. I do understand. She did also mention that she has a good relationship with the media. Mm-hmm. She has nothing against the media. It's just her as an introvert, she doesn't like doing it. And I can imagine, you know, there are things that make me anxious. I hate being in a room with you and, like, small talk with other, like, you seeing a person that you know gives me so much anxiety because... like, you're just good at small talk and I'm not. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's like a very stupid example. But, you know, when you don't want to be in a situation and you have the power to have that conversation and change things, I'm like, why the heck not? Venus Williams is also weighing in on the issue, but that's like a whole other
thing. Venus Williams had the biggest flex out of any athlete interview I've heard.
Venus Williams
in the
was
last
just like,
years.
I'm better than everybody in this room, so it doesn't matter what they say about me.
They asked her, how do you cope? And she's like, well, the way I cope is no one who ever asks me questions can play tennis as well as I do, and they never will. And none of them can hold a candle to me. And I'm like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, but like, I mean, of course they can't play like her. So, but you know what I mean? There's also...
Well, it leads to a much bigger discussion, obviously, of... And again, this is as a member of the media.
Yes, exactly.
But
some of those questions are really stupid. Like, coming from somebody that played the sport, right? And like, if you ask, like, what were you thinking? You were down 15-40 and then, you know, you got the deuce and you got the break. And just like, you're not thinking. You're just trying to get through one point after another, and you're just trying to like drown everything out. So I don't know how, it's amazing to me how they answer these questions. Or, you know, I think I was watching Serena's press conference and she was just like, oh, I wasn't thinking. I'm like, yes, because you're not. Like, I mean, of course you're thinking of like bouncing back, but not really like, what am I doing next? It's just, tennis doesn't work that way.
There's a very sick and misguided sense of ownership that old people and people who've been doing media for a long time have over sports and athletes and the coverage of athletes. I think it's because it dates back decades to athletes owe these journalists something when really they don't. And as this whole podcast is built on the fact that we can get athletes and we can get famous people. And my whole career has been built on, oh, you interview people well. But I'll be the first to tell you.
They don't need us.
Yeah, no. I've interviewed people before and we have both looked at each other in the eye and both have been, I don't want to be here and neither do you.
Sure.
And there is no point in this.
And there's also the argument that, you know, like back then, like they needed the press to talk about them. On tennis, I mean, up to today, tennis isn't a super popular sport, but...
Much less now that Naomi Osaka's not playing.
Exactly, but Naomi Osaka has her own Instagram, she has her own Twitter, and this is how she communicates with her fans now. And, like, again, this kind of hurts us, because this is kind of our job.
Oh, I've been...
We're not very important.
I've been advocating for this for a long time. This is the first... Well, actually, I do like to believe that Marshawn Lynch, one of the patron saints of player empowerment, was the first domino. But this is another domino falling that leads to the media in general, in sports, needing to do better. Do better, media people. And I've said this before. If there was a board exam for you to be a sports journalist... More than half of the people who currently identify themselves as sports journalists would fail that board exam. And if you have a problem with that statement, then guess which half you fall under.
Yeah.
That's my number one. That's number one on the list.
It's my turn.
All right. Number two on the list. Naomi was number one. All right. What do you have for number two?
Well, mine is really, like, this is really, fuck you. Whoa. If you had to live with one social app, what would it be? See, I'm asking you this because a year ago I knew the answer. Mm-hmm. Today I don't.
Oh yeah, because TikTok has now taken over my life.
He's obsessed with TikTok. A year ago you would have said Twitter.
Sure.
So now I'm like, is it TikTok? Is it Twitter?
I would have said Twitter every single year since Twitter started.
Right?
Yeah.
So now, what is it? I want to know.
It's the NBA playoffs, so I'm a little biased to Twitter because hashtag NBA Twitter is king of all social media events in my life.
Yeah,
however,
that's ending in like, you know, a couple of months.
Twitter has always had sorry, Laker fans, but Twitter has always had a 30-point lead on Instagram for me.
Okay.
It now currently has a 5-point lead
Against TikTok,
and TikTok has Damian Lillard on their team, so it's close.
But still, Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just because I was born of Twitter, and Twitter is what I guess enjoy the most in terms of the people that I've. But if the people I followed on Twitter started making TikToks, it's done. Game over.
See, this is the thing. I am not on TikTok. I have an account, but I'm like not on TikTok the way you are. When he isn't minding me, he's just watching random. I have no idea. The other week he was watching please tell me what it was, the insects. Oh, good God.
Oh, there's this guy on TikTok.
It's so lame.
There's this guy on TikTok who raises maggots as a business.
And he's just like, babe, you gotta see this. And I'm
He puts them in this vat, right? Disgusting. This massive vat with dirt on it. And all the maggots are there. There's like 1,000 maggots. And then he drops...
Oh, no. No, he drops like food waste.
Yeah, food waste.
So he's actually helping the environment. It's sustainable. But anyway...
And the maggots eat it. And then he records it time-lapsed. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
It's the most disgusting thing I've seen.
It's so gross, but... You are on TikTok, right? You enjoy...
I've never uploaded one thing on TikTok, but I
You're
know,
a lurker.
I know very few people who are on it more than I am.
Yeah. Do I have to accept that this is the future? Because I don't want to. Does that make sense? Because it's not an age thing. Because there are people my age on TikTok that love it.
Oh, and I'm the oldest, like, 32-year-old you'll find.
Sure. It's not an age thing and are, like, whatever, millennial, Gen Z, whatever. It's just, like, a culture. It's, like, a whole new world there that I just feel like it's so... There's too much going on for me. And I don't... And people tell me, they're like, oh, Bea, you should get on TikTok because you'd be so good. Like, you're so expressive. You're so funny. And I'm just like, no. Because I just can't. And, like, so that's my question. Do I have to accept that TikTok is like here to stay? It's not like Snapchat that will just like wither and die.
Oh no, yeah, no, TikTok's here. Like, really? TikTok's here. TikTok's taking over.
Really?
Yeah. There are people on Facebook who are telling each other, we gotta ramp up this fake news spreading thing because it's the only thing keeping eyeballs on us right now.
You don't think people will get sick of it and it'll just like...
No, first of all, I have massive Gen Z envy. Mm. I feel like I was born in the wrong generation. And I feel like
What are you talking about?
I feel like they will carry TikTok with pride.
Sure.
And
I guess.
It's the great equalizer. It's the great equalizer. It's death to the Instagram influencer. Unless they adapt to TikTok. And anyone who has maggots or... is cleaning swimming pools.
Here's my issue. There's so much stupid shit on TikTok.
Oh, okay? But the algorithm is so smart.
Okay.
So that's the thing about my TikTok is...
None of that pops up on your feed.
If you're on TikTok for, let's say, for example, a week, and you engage with... You're an active engager, meaning you like posts that you actually do like, mm-hmm. and then you skip past posts that you don't like right away... TikTok's algorithm is smart enough to curate what's going to end up on your For You page. So you keep saying the same thing. That's why I now follow 3 maggot accounts. And I follow 4 swimming pool cleaning accounts. It's because these are the TikToks for me. And I don't see too much dancing on my TikTok.
Sure. Yeah. I'm tired of the dancing though. Enough.
I haven't seen a dancing video in a long time. It's because my algorithm...
You know, during the second ECQ that we had, like, medyo nabubuhay siya. And I was just like, die. Die. This is not going to live again. Okay, cool, fine. But Twitter still lives.
Twitter is still king.
Good for you.
But it's king in the Game of Thrones sense that you don't know how long it'll be king.
Okay.
All right, that's number 2 on the list. By the way, to everyone who's listening and wanting to follow me on TikTok, don't.
There's nothing on it.
Although I do have some maggot accounts I can recommend to you. Number 3 on the list. This is breaking news. This just happened right now. We wouldn't be the Call to Arms podcast if we didn't talk about this. But
you're being sarcastic.
No. I'm serious. This just broke 20 minutes ago, if I'm not mistaken. Kiefer Ravenna has signed on to play in Japan to join 30 in the B League, albeit for a different team.
Okay.
But he's on his way. He's signed. They've announced it. The team in Japan has announced it. The PBA, through the commissioner, has been very quick to issue a retort to say...
And what did he say?
Di pwedien.
Why?
Not allowed, because Kiefer has an active contract with NLEX and has a player contract, a longer standing contract with the PBA. So Kiefer's tried to get to Japan earlier in the year, if I'm not mistaken, but there's some paperwork there that...
So will he not be allowed?
We don't know.
Ah.
We don't know.
Hmm.
If If the PBA...
Weren't they like threatening to ban 30 forever?
They're still threatening to.
Okay.
Kind of. There is a standing rule. In fairness, don't hate the player, hate the game, right? But the PBA does have a draft. It's not the draft ducker rule, but it's a something. Someone who skips the draft.
Okay.
You can't skip the draft 2 years in a row from your college graduation. Unless there's a pre-approved reason to do so. Playing overseas, not one of those pre-approved reasons. So they want to keep their talents. I'd say the best way to do that is always to have a better league, do better PBA. But in this case, they already have a guy, one of the brightest stars in the PBA, the de facto captain of the national team in Kiefer. Active contract, the PBA working to get back. Practice has started. And he's saying, in Naomi Osaka's words, bye.
Bye.
Deuces.
Bye.
Out of here.
Well, I'm always going to be happy for players that get better opportunities, right? Like, you just...
Paying in a better league.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I don't really know the PBA the way you know the PBA. I tried to work for them. They didn't like me. So, so I just kind of tuned out after
They dislike few people more than they dislike me. So very few people are disliked more than I am.
I wouldn't say they didn't like me. It was maybe the network had some issues.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. It's not the PBA, but... that road was not explored.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know a lot about how they... I mean, I know that you are not a fan of how they run.
What did I say about the PBA? The PBA is like my Game of Thrones. I love the actors. Love the characters.
Sure.
Hate the showrunners.
Yes, exactly. So I know that much. But yeah, I don't know. I'm all for like... You do you... pursue all the opportunities that you can, especially like for Keith, who's been through so much in the past few years. Gosh, I mean, let's not even get into that, right? So, yeah.
Good luck to Keith, the first and only Filipino athlete who is a Jordan Brand athlete.
I know,
athlete,
right? That's huge.
And now he breaks news again as he has been signed to a contract in Japan.
You know how I found out about this? Lars.
Oh.
# care mo naman.
Shout out to Lars.
I saw this. I was like, oh, okay.
It's
this
practically
is
a Ravenna.
Yes,
it's practically
that's true.
A Ravenna.
That's happening.
But yeah, it is a developing story. Should we get Keith onto the pod, Toby? I think we should get Keith on the pod. However,
yeah, go.
My big risk whenever we get guys like him on the pod talk about topics like this is I feel like our podcast will be the reason they get fined, and we can't reimburse them. So
no,
I'm always concerned.
Okay.
They get into more
that
trouble.
That should be interesting, though.
Good
catch
luck.
Up with Kiefer. Good luck, Kiefer.
Good luck,
we're
Keith.
Always rooting for you.
And enjoy Japan. Enjoy Japan. And hope this all works out.
Okay.
All right, number four on the list. It's on you, babe.
Oh, should there be the Office reunion special, just like the Friends one?
I mean, I'm not saying no to it.
See, here's the thing. You know how there's a podcast with Angela Kinsey and Jenna Fisher?
Sure.
Where
Office
they like
ladies.
Office ladies, where they break it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that really cute guesting on Some Good News of John Krasinski and Steve Carell, where they kind of talk about moments as well. And I feel like there's a lot of that already. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like, we know so much about like how this cast was, you know, put together, and you know, Phyllis was technically, you know, in the casting, and you know, there's just so many like the Office trivia. So when I was thinking, because I am not a fan of Friends. And that's what you said. You were like, isipin mo na lang, babe. This is for The Office.
Sure.
And then I was like, well, I guess. But I don't know if I would... it would be nice to see everybody together. But entertainment-wise, like, what will they do? Just sit and talk about all these moments?
Well, first of all, I guess that's a testament to what the Friends reunion did. Which is they all just sat down
and
rolled the hits.
And people were just like, the best 1 hour and 44 minutes of my life. And I'm just like...
I'm sure. I'm sure it was.
I mean,
and I'm sure.
sure
it was.
Yeah,
because
we're not fans of the show.
Right.
We don't dislike it, but we just don't have that like obsession and love.
It was an entertaining hour and 44 minutes.
I was
minutes.
Asleep.
You fall asleep to most things.
I was gone. But I was just like...
I can understand why it... Because it's a reunion concert, right? They come back, they play all the hits, right?
Sure.
All the greatest shows. They get a couple of cameos from a couple of beloved characters and contributors to the show, and you know, it's essentially that. It's essentially just a sit down interview. It's what Oprah would have done at the peak of Oprah's powers. This is kind of like an Oprah guesting that's blown up and put on HBO Max, and is as long as a movie, hour 44. If The Office did it, I think we would all watch.
Yeah, we'd watch.
I think we'd all be.
But do we need it?
Incredibly entertained. Anytime you get any Steve Carell content.
And John Krasinski.
And Krasinski. And also because outside of Steve Carell and John Krasinski, a lot of the most beloved people from The Office.
And Rainn Wilson.
Don't see as much anymore.
I do need more Dwight in my life.
I mean, we see Mindy. Yeah. But, you know, there's not a lot of Rainn Wilson out there in the ether anymore. You know, Angela Kinsey, you don't see her a whole lot anymore, but she's such a big part of the TV show. So I think if you get them all together and, you know, just imagine they're sitting in the actual office or in the conference room again. They're talking about their favorite episodes and stuff like that. That's an easy one. Million each for Jim, Pam, and Michael and Dwight, right?
I just feel like they've discussed it in other places na kasi.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I know this. I mean, I'll listen to them talk about it again, but it's not like that whole, sorry, spoiler alert, that whole thing with David Schwimmer and Jen Aniston that I won't mention anymore, but yes.
Yeah, but which I don't think is necessarily groundbreaking news, right?
Yeah.
They had a crush on each other, like, oh, cool. Like, it does.
I want to know if there was physical attraction with Jenna Fisher and John Krasinski.
Right? You know, so I don't think they have to come up with a lot of new stuff because I don't think that the Friends show necessarily divulged a lot of like trade secrets. It was really just a celebration of this great show, this great cast. And if The Office did that, I think we'd all watch.
Is it up there with Friends, though?
It depends. I mean, it's not for the amigo. I mean, Toby hates it.
Yeah. So I just feel like there are not a lot of... I don't know a lot of The Office fans. If that... Like, the way that there are Friends fans.
Sure, sure. But maybe if
maybe in the Philippines.
Maybe if you get to the number of years separated from canon, from the original content, the nostalgia builds up.
Yeah.
Friends has... What was it? I think 100 billion... 100 billion, it's been seen 100 billion times in total, all the total episodes or something like that. Or is it 11 billion? But it was a billion with a B. So it's a lot. So maybe once The Office gets close to there, it's not going to be as big of a phenomenon as Friends is, but it could get close. It could get close. Okay. I mean, for Toby's not going to care. I mean, it's not like it's How I Met Your Mother, which is his barometer for TV shows.
What? No. What?
I was about to ask you, like, How I Met Your Mother.
Toby hates The Office. I mean, come on. It's not... There's no Barney Stinson.
That's like a... I cannot...
This is assassination of
Kevin. I hate both those shows equally for the
record. Oh, really? Office is like How I Met Your Mother to you? Like, same level?
I don't like it.
He hates babies and puppies and all things that make you feel nice.
Interesting.
He's troubled. He's troubled. Just let him be. All right. So that's number four on the list. We're two items each now. That brings me to number five.
I only have four, huh? You took my other one.
Oh, darn. Okay. I got to be careful about this one. All right. We got to get to number five. All right. Number five. Since we're talking John Krasinski already... we're itching to watch A Quiet Place Part Two for many reasons. One, we enjoyed
the first one.
A Quiet Place, the first one, which is strange because neither myself nor my wife typically enjoy
suspense
or horrors. We don't like those kind of movies traditionally, but we really like that one. And then Krasinski signed on to write, direct, and produce A Quiet Place 2. His wife, Emily Blunt, signed on to star, and everybody's back. Plus, they get our guy, Cillian Murphy. who yes, is
I love him,
who is the number one person in this household.
He is just so captivating.
That's actually number five and not A Quiet Place Two whatsoever. Wow. Because it's really just
Thomas Shelby.
Cillian Murphy. We binged Peaky Blinders, which for a lot of the fantastic couples or families who are tuned into this right now, you guys are trying out different shows and watching different shows as we speak, right? You're doing that over the quarantine. So that's happening. What happened for us is I convinced my wife to watch Peaky Blinders. And while the nature...
No. We started the show together.
Sure, yes.
We did.
Years ago,
in 2018. And then we went on a trip.
Right.
And we forgot what episode we were. Mm-hmm. And you being the loving, well, partner, boyfriend, you started it again without me.
Yeah, I continued it and I finished it. And I caught up.
So
and
I've been up to speed for years. Yes, this is why we had to rewatch it.
Yes. So
finally I finished it. We're great. Wait, are we talking about the movie or Peaky Blinders?
No, we used the movie to expose. Oh. I was trying to trap you into sharing on record your... unnecessary affection for Cillian Murphy, but you volunteered to do that right off the bat. The mention of his name.
He's so amazing. There is just something about watching him. He's technically not a good guy, right? But you're rooting for him. Thomas Shelby is not a good guy, but you're rooting for him. But it's not that. I think it's like the way that I could not stand him at all before. For being Scarecrow and even on, what do you call that? It was not Snakes on a Plane. It was probably like that. The one with Rachel, Red Eye. So he was very stressful to me because of that very creepy look. And right. I could not stand him. But something changed over the course of Peaky Blinders. And it's not like physical attraction. It's just... There's no other way I can hang ako sa kanya. I'm like, oh my god, he's fantastic. He's so good in this series, and just the journey he takes you through when you're watching him is just fantastic. I'm just running out of words. I am so excited to see him in A Quiet Place Part 2 because mm-hmm. like that's him as an actor again, and I don't know if I'll feel the same way, like mm-hmm. be excited to see him. You know what I mean?
Outside of being Tommy Shelby.
Of Peaky Blinders, because I just love him as Thomas Shelby. That's it.
I thought I was going to go through a whole lot more podcasting gymnastics to try and draw that out of her by going with a quiet place. I hadn't even gotten both syllables of Cillian out of my mouth yet, and already her face changed and her voice went up 2 full octaves.
He's great.
Welcome to my life. Our child is going to be named Thomas Shelby Ramos, by the way. It's been locked in.
Thomas, happy or sad?
Thomas. Thomas. All right. Okay. We'll leave Peaky Blinders breakdown aside. That's a pilot program waiting to happen. Toby, maybe we should do a Peaky Blinders pilot program. 7 people listening to this podcast right now are going, yes! Yeah! Peaky F and Blinders!
I don't know a lot of Peaky Blinders fans.
That's more than the Warrior episode, though, so I think we can
definitely do that. First of all, to hell with you. You liked Warrior.
I didn't watch that show.
You liked Warrior. I've been forcing people to watch it, but
my mother watched The Warrior, Toby.
Before I did.
Yeah.
Before I did. Happy birthday.
Oh, wow. To
yeah, happy birthday, Eileen.
You fuel us, we fuel you. Gatorade studies the best athletes to create the most advanced sports fuel with fluids, electrolytes, and carbohydrates. So you can play your best. Nothing beats Gatorade.
Wait, is it my turn?
Yes, it's your turn.
Okay, so I have given 2, right?
Yes.
So I only have 2 more. I'm like not in sports or anything relevant. This is just like I'm pregnant.
Okay.
So what's the best merienda?
Oh, we have to crowdsource this.
What? No, so I have gotten...
So obviously, I don't have the answer, because if I did, we'd be eating said merienda right now.
No, because he's on this weird diet right now. because he's trying to lose weight before the baby arrives. So we are very limited in the Ramos household right now. We only eat leaves here. So
there can only be one chunky boy in the house. And I think at the rate that our child is going, he's going to be pretty leaves. Chunky.
Anyway, so yeah, so I was sitting in the dining room and I was just like, what do I want for merienda? And I'm thinking, what is the like best? Like, does anything beat turon?
First of all, turon is the goat.
Right?
Turon is the goat.
But what about siomai?
Because now that crosses into savory. But if we're weight classing this and there's divisions and we're just going sweet merienda, turon is the goat.
I'm not going sweet merienda. I'm just merienda in general because cheese sticks is up there for me.
Turon is still the goat.
Turon without langka.
I'll take either. Although no. I'm a turon and langka kind of guy. But either is fine with me. Turon is the goat. Maruya is in my top five, which is essentially turon without the lumpia wrapper. Cheese sticks are up there. The whole summer came and went, and I didn't get one halo-halo this year.
Yeah. I think it's because you go to a place to have halo-halo, sure. Diba? You don't, like, just randomly buy all the ingredients and make it at home. I mean, we could, but it's such a hassle to do that.
Yeah.
So, you tayo nag-halo-halo, babe.
Yeah, apologies to the entire Chowking marketing machinery over the last three months.
But, like, how? You can't even order it.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. They'll deliver it to you.
At what, like, what's the state of the halo-halo when it arrives?
That's the downside. You take what you can get. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think without question for me, turon is the goat. Turon is
so simple, but it's just.
And this isn't even like Jordan or LeBron who's the goat. Like, no, this is clear, far alone. And away, Meryl Streep level the goat.
I'm trying to think, but I agree with you, kasi. Yeah.
Turon's undefeated. If anyone listening to this has any protests, any other opinions, this is the People's Podcast after all. And the people could be wrong. And if you don't think it's Turon, this is still your podcast, but you'll just be wrong. Mm.
It's Turon. Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Okay. That's number six on the list. Number seven.
I'm so excited for my last one.
Oh. Number seven. Of the things we've binged over this pandemic. No. Of the things we've binged over this pandemic. If you recall, the Amigo knows this, and people who've listened to this podcast, they know this. Was it the very, very first episode? Tob, it's one of your favorite segments we've ever done. But was the very, very first episode of the pod is when we did Skip It or Stream It?
Yeah, that was the first. That
one, yeah.
So for those of you who haven't, go back to more than a year plus. Bea was on the podcast before we got married, and
we did
this quick thing called Skip It or Stream It, where I was suggesting things on Netflix, and I was reading to her the description of some of these movies or TV shows.
Sure.
And Bea would say, "Okay, that sounds like something we'll watch. That sounds like something we should skip." And it was a pretty much a clean sweep of skips.
Skip.
Yeah, La Casa de Papel, Money Heist, skip. Sure. She was like, "Pass on everything, right? On everything." And I think that should tell you that for a good, I would say 4 days, we went through it in 4 days. During this said pandemic, we went through every single Twilight movie.
Oh, you're bringing that up.
With gusto and excitement and phones on silent mode. And nobody say anything. I'm watching Twilight.
I know. Didn't you walk in on me and I was just like...
Crying?
No,
yes.
No, it was just like... I was like super gilig and I was like smiling the whole way through. And you were just like, what is happening right now?
I'd never seen the entire lot of the Twilight films until this particular binge.
It took me back to...
to where?
No, it's just... Okay, so I'm gonna... This is gonna make me sound super stupid, but I don't read books.
Maybe don't phrase it that way.
No, I don't enjoy reading books, right? I like learning through other... in different ways. Sure. I'm not like, you know, my mom was always just like, read a book, Bea. And the books that I read were Twilight. And then I was like, wow, this is what it feels like a book. Oh my gosh, no, for real. I finished it like all four in like a week. And like, I don't do that. It took me like 5 years to get through Black Beauty. Okay, I'm not even kidding. So it just, yeah. So I guess when I put it on, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed the whole Twilight phenomenon. Right. You know what I mean? Like, at the time, I think at the time when I was like living through it, like, I was excited about it, but I wasn't like, oh my god, a fan, you know? Like, I could wait if the movie was out, and I didn't need to see it on the day. I'm not like that person. But I don't know, I guess it was just like a part of, I don't even want to say my generation, but it was just very important to
us. It was a foundational event in your life.
Yeah, you know, like in Trumps, like, pag wala kang ginagawa, we were all just reading, we were all just reading Twilight, or Eclipse, or New Moon, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I just, and I didn't even like her, Bella Swan. What's her name?
Kirsten.
Kristen Stewart.
Not Kirsten.
Kristen Stewart and even Edward Cullen, Rob Pattinson. I didn't even like them. Mm. But just seeing them is, I guess it's nostalgia. It was really like, wow, such a beautiful experience. I remember. Yeah, I cried with my mother in the last movie. Mm. Yeah, when nung nagplay na si ano, Kirsten. Hi. Me.
First of all, I've been waiting for that Thousand Year song the entire time. I didn't know.
He's like, when is the Thousand Years gonna play? And I'm like, oh, it's in the very last part of the last movie. So
I kept waiting for the song to come on.
I was like, babe, ito na. In Breaking Dawn Part 2. So yeah. Enjoy lang.
Here's my takeaways from the Twilight binge. All right. As someone who's only seen the first one when it came out.
And then you didn't watch anything else
anymore. I had no interest of seeing any of the other ones, right? And that's not to say that I'm like cooler than cool or anything like that, because here's takeaway number one from the rewatch of the Twilight saga. Mm-hmm. Saga. Takeaway number one. Not a bad way to spend like 9 hours.
It's very entertaining.
Not a bad way.
It's entertaining.
You could binge far worse than the Twilight saga. Incredibly...
I would actually, okay, this is a series, so it's like, it's a weird comparison, but I would take Twilight over like Riverdale. You know what I mean? Like, if you were talking entertainment purposes. Yeah. Like, this is just, for me, this was, no, this for me was like a cultural experience for me in high school. Like, sure. Everybody was reading these books, and I think hindi pa nga ata ako pwede to read it or something, because it was just, and I bought it anyway. You know what? I'm just like, I'm gonna read this.
That's my take.
Mom, it's a book. I'm reading. Just deal with it.
that's my takeaway number two, is that if you read this at 12, or if you have a 12-year-old that's thinking of picking it up, maybe don't.
Why not? They waited for marriage.
I was gonna say there's a lot of murder and tearing people limb from limb. But nice to know they waited for...
They did, though.
Nice to know that the undead vampire waited for marriage with a human living person who is also considered a meal for him.
Well, people were reading before Harry they consummated Potter. Their... Kids were their marriage.
But that's the other thing. Yeah, Harry Potter, wait till you're 25 before you read it.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. Takeaway number three. Bella Swan's the villain of this entire thing. Everything goes wrong because of her. Could have been easily fixed if she was made brunch. And last takeaway, there's a lot of people's careers who started or got amplified because of the Twilight series.
See, I know.
Anna Kendrick was just like the best friend playing the Rosel Nava role.
But Taylor Lautner is just like not on the big screen anymore. And I actually searched him. And he was cuter then. He's not as cute anymore.
Well, he is working on...
There is something. You know, I did not understand the whole Team Edward, Team Jacob thing. But now watching Taylor Lautner as a 29-year-old, I was like, damn. He's a good-looking kid. Di ko lang type dati, but I was like, wow! You know, so I understand why the obsession was there for all of these young girls.
As everyone can hear, it's been a fantastic time for me in this household during this pandemic.
I was like, guapo niya, no?
Oh, I'm the exact opposite, because when I first kind of like, when it was in the ether, when it was just people were talking about it, the movies were coming out, Team Jacob, Team Edward, I was like, well, yeah, of course, Team Jacob, like, one, he looks Pinoy. So I'm immediately biased to him.
I guess. He's, sure.
Because Edward Cullen's like bod paper white.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah. Yes. Two, like, he looks like the athlete between the two of them. And three, like, he's not the creepy demon vampire. He just jumps, turns into a bus-sized werewolf mid-air, and then can turn back into a jean short-wearing dude.
But you enjoyed it.
I was like, of course
you enjoyed it. He kept asking. He was like, oh, so what's happening now?
So, I said, not the worst time to spend 10 hours. But my point is, I thought that I would always just forever, you know, like, be Team Jacob all the way.
Team Edward.
You rewatch it, and you're like, I'm excited for Robert Pattinson as Batman.
See?
I'm excited for him as Batman. Like, this might work.
Yeah.
He had a little Batman in him. He had a little Batman in him as Edward Cullen.
I enjoyed that. Yeah, I was sad when it ended.
Ah, that's not the word I would use when it ended. I was scared we'd watch it again.
No, man.
From the start.
But no, see, that was the first time I rewatched it since seeing it in the cinema. Mm. So maybe that's why I was just so enthralled and like...
It's a lot of downtime in the Ramos household, as you guys can see. All right, number 8 on the list. This is your last thing.
This is my last.
Okay.
And... like, I guess I want us to be really honest when it comes to, like, this topic.
Sure.
When this baby comes out,
mm-hmm.
our son, right, that we're going to love with all our hearts.
Sure.
Is there something...
Thomas Shelby Ramos.
Is there something that, like, he could he may not like that would disappoint you? You know what I mean? Or may not have? Like you have certain expectations for him. You know what I mean? I was thinking about
like this. If he hates sports?
Yes. See, I don't know if I know what to do if our kid did not like any sport.
If
any?
If he didn't like basketball or he thought like the Clippers were cool.
Yeah. Or no, I was thinking like something basic. Like what if he was not super tall?
Oh, I don't care.
You don't care. But what would this? What is something that would be a nice to have? Of course, you're gonna deal with it as a parent.
Sure.
But what is something that would be like? Well, that kind of sucks. I think if our kid was not a good communicator, I would be like, well, what happened? I would be a little confused. You know, shy is different. Huh? I mean, just like being able to express himself, I would be a little confused, and then I deal with it then. But what is something you want our kid to like?
Well, I'd love him. I'd love for him to love basketball. I'd love for him to love sports in general.
Right?
But if he didn't, I don't think I'd care that much. I don't think I'd lose that much sleep over it.
No, I know. We're not going to. But it would just be such a bummer. You know what I mean? Like, because we bond so much over sports. And like, I mean, what if our kid...
I mean, it's going to suck for him. So I wouldn't necessarily kind of be... too bummed out about
it. No, we'd have to get into the things that he likes. So
sure, and like that's my kid. So if he likes playing the violin, I'll stand him trying to learn the violin all day, all night at home. God. Like I don't care. Like I'm blindly supportive when it comes to those things. So I'm like, hey, by all means, man, do what you got to do. You want to play the cello? I don't know what a cello looks like, but if you want to play it, go for it. But it's gonna suck for him because there's gonna be a lot of basketball and tennis and all these boxing and mixed martial arts and F1 racing and all the sports that we watch in this household. So. Tough times, buddy, because we're going to continue to watch that. And you go watch the violin channel on your iPad.
But what would you want him to like take after me? And what would I know what I want him to get from you? Definitely your brain.
Sure.
And, like not my Thank academic you. Career. Dear God, I'd be so worried for him. But like for me, what would you want him to pick
up? The great tragedy of our marriage would be if we had a child and it looked exactly like me and nothing like you.
No.
Is a growth. Oh,
Ooh. A boy, you. Like, I married you.
Yeah, no, so... but that's fine. Because, like, for me, like, I made the most of what I could work with my parents. If that kid grows up, sees you, sees me, and goes like, really? Really? Everything from him? I had a chance to get some from you and nothing?
Are you nervous about what our kid is going to look like?
I won't care, but he might look at me down the line when he's 15 and 16 and he starts caring about how he looks like. And he's like, why is it you that I look like? And I'm just not going to have answers. And I go, sorry, bud.
So you want him to get my looks?
100%.
Nothing about like my...
Everything else, your sense of humor.
Wonderful yes. personality.
Your sense of humor, sure. Your communication skills, yes. Your being organized, you're being responsible, caring for other people, all of those things.
But looks...
They begin at number two on the list.
Sure.
Yeah. Number one, with a massive bullet, is please make my child.
I really hope our kid is smart. Man, gosh.
Or at least one of both. Not cute and not smart. Rough times. No guestings for him on the podcast. All right.
Okay, that's my last. That was my last because you took Naomi.
Oh, okay. That brings us to number 9 on the list, which I was kind of dodging because I thought it was going to be one of your things. But
okay.
Mayor of Easttown.
Oh, because I knew you were going to bring that up, so I didn't put it in mine.
Amigo, have you
seen it?
No, I haven't.
All right.
Wow. So, but I heard Guy Pearce is in it, so then I'm definitely watching. Yeah.
You're a Guy Pearce fan?
I heard Guy Pearce was in it, yeah, so I'm definitely watching. Is a sentence.
Like, has he ever starred
I've never
in a movie?
Heard it. Yes. Yes.
La Chalam?
Yes. Yes.
Like
Guy Pearce is.
Yeah. Memento.
Yeah. Guy Pearce is a bona fide star. Yeah.
What is it?
Memento, it's a Nolan
movie.
Oh,
I've never seen. Yeah. I've never seen it. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But, oh, you should watch that.
Okay.
But I heard. I heard Guy Pearce was in it, so I'm definitely watching it.
Not Kate Winslet, right?
Mayor of Easttown is the best TV show I have seen since Succession.
Yes, I agree.
I can say that with full confidence. It's a limited series, so the finite nature of a limited series really kind of straps you in and allows you to enjoy a show as it happens, because you're not looking ahead and thinking, how are they going to get a season 2 out of this? How are they going to extend that story and stuff like that? When you know from the jump, all right, I'm watching episode 1 of 7. It really allows you to really enjoy every single episode.
Every moment, every minute.
And every scene.
Yeah.
And there is not one actress who has performed at this high of a level on a prestige TV show the way that Kate Winslet has.
She is just out of this world in this series. I just kept saying to you, how she was able to just embody the middle-aged woman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, how she changed. I mean, it's not even, like, obviously, you know, she put on some weight. I don't know if she put on weight for this character specifically or she was this weight prior to shooting this. But it was just the body language that I was just, the little things that I can't even describe or mm-hmm. I can't even, you know, I don't even know where to start. You just have to watch it to understand. But... What's his name? What's the actor's name? Colin Zabel. What's his name? Like, actual actor.
Oh, Evan... Evans. No, Evans something.
The guy from... Okay, why don't we know
the
his
guy
name?
From WandaVision.
Yes. Anyway, I was just amazed how attached I got. I've never been so easily attached to a character.
Sure.
The
Evan
way...
Peters.
Yeah, okay, sure. And I was thinking about him this, like the entire series. Like, he was just so... Like, this character was in my mind days after I was watching. And I'm just like, wow, I didn't even like this actor. He was... Mm. He looked weird with the silver hair. He had silver hair, right? Or gray hair. In
yeah,
one
he
division.
Did.
And so he was really just so cool and great in this. And I think it was just a weird pairing, Kate Winslet and him, but it worked so well.
They're partners on the show as detectives.
Yeah.
Roy from The Office is in it. Jean Smart, is a national treasure.
Also so good.
Is in it, and just a powerhouse cast of people who you make. And of course, the Amigos' beloved Guy Pearce is in it. Mm-hmm. Every scene is top notch. It's a great impressive show that really builds a world that you jump into and you want to know more and more and more about. It's one of those worlds they build. I don't want to live there, but I kind of want to eavesdrop some more on how these people live.
But I'm sad. Like, there's a hole in my heart that we don't have anything to watch on Monday nights. But I'm also like, it was so intense and there was so much that happened, and I don't know, but watching this pregnant was a different experience. It was very stressful. So I'm kind of just like, okay, great. It has ended. Mm-hmm. Like, we are closing this book, because it's that, it really takes you through.
Stream like, it.
Yeah. Just watch it. Talaga. But I don't know. As in, like, our baby was jumping when I was watching. I was like, oh my God. Ang galing niya. Ang galing, galing, galing. So, yeah.
Stream it. It's on HBO Go. This is not a plug. And here's how you know it's not a plug. This is a prestige TV show. One of the best we've seen in an incredibly long time. Headlined and carried by one of the greatest living actors alive right now in Kate Winslet. Here's how you know it's not an ad for HBO Go. HBO Go. Do a little better with the app. Just a little better with the app.
Gosh, he can't take any lag. Like,
the interface.
Like, if it's 2 seconds, he's just like, that's it. He's beside himself. He's just like, oh my gosh.
The interface is a little rough. You have the HBO library on.
Why is it not loading? And I'm just like, patient.
When can we get the HBO Max upgrade? Come on. HBO people in Asia, make it happen.
Kate Winslet, go for it.
All right. Okay. Last but not the least, I'll go 6 here, since just to complete the 10. In the interest of answering a whole bunch of your questions, we were stroller hunting for a long time, and I was sharing on Instagram, my third favorite social media app, that
that's my first, by the way. Okay. I really like Instagram.
It's third. If I knew how to make videos on TikTok, I would have shared the journey on TikTok. But we were searching for strollers, and I was sharing on Instagram our journey, right? Okay, this is what we like so far. This is what we're looking at.
Okay.
This is the considerations. And everyone has an opinion.
Oh, my God.
The Amigo, if ever you get married and have a baby on the way, myself included, we're all going to have opinions. We're all going to tell you, this is what you should do. This is what happened when I had a baby.
I'm honestly not going to be that person. I swear to myself. I really won't.
I'll be that way towards the Amigo and the Amigo only. Okay. But everybody has an opinion. This is what happened to me and my kid. Me and my wife, we did this.
Don't get that. That's a waste of money.
We joke about it, but we appreciate it incredibly. Everyone who shared their opinions. This is a shared journey by you guys, and I know you guys are excited for us. Yeah. Right?
Okay.
But we landed on a few certain things. There were a couple of brands and models that we would have liked, but they cost more to ship here than they are to buy.
Yeah.
And they're already expensive, right? Because they're not available locally. I don't want to get the name wrong, and I don't have it here. But we went with the Kiko Bravo Trio.
Right.
So we went with a Kiko Bravo Trio.
Like, what in the world?
So I talk about strollers like I talk about sneakers now. If anyone out there is stroller hunting, give me a call. I'll break down everything for you. I've seen, and I'm not even kidding, I've seen at least 6 hours
YouTube reviews for a long time. Like, I was just like, make a decision. So it doesn't even matter.
The Kiko Bravo trio is great because it's a stroller up until your kid's maybe 4 or 5 years old.
You do the explaining.
It's also a car seat carrier for when your baby is an infant. And it comes with a car seat base, an award-winning car seat base.
Okay.
So you can just transfer your kid from being in the stroller to the car.
Yeah.
So a lot of people told us, well, you guys aren't going to be traveling. Like, what do you need a car seat for? It's going to grow out of it in like 4 months. And while that is true, it's extremely important for us to have a car seat on the day that we bring him home.
Oh, you need a car seat. Like, that's illegal. My goodness.
Right, because a lot of people are suggesting maybe just borrow a car seat for the trip home, and then not a lot of people are going anywhere. You guys are at home. Yeah. So how many times are going to use the car seat? Let me tell you, the grandparents on both sides, they're going to want to see this baby.
Yeah, they're going to want to see this baby. So we're going to have to go and travel to them. And so we need a car seat. Somebody was also telling me to not get a stroller because they like carrying their child. And I'm just like, I like to go on walks and I'm not carrying my child for an hour.
Sure.
So, you know, there's different
different priorities.
Priorities for sure.
Right.
But it was definitely an exhausting experience to choose this stroller, this travel system. I did not think we would get into it this much. I thought we were just gonna pick a random one and go home.
Yeah, and the clinching factor out of all of it was when we went to the store, it was on sale.
Oh yeah, it was. It was on sale.
What did we get for like 20 off?
I don't remember.
It was a very significant discount. And I was like, you know what? At that price,
go for it.
It seems like you're throwing the car seat and the car seat base free.
Yeah.
So that's what we went with. It's the Kiko Bravo Trio. We even got the special edition blackout color.
Yes, the black one.
So if you throw a limited edition colorway at me, I am biting.
Yeah.
I am in. It's not that heavy. It's not one of those things that you throw and then it just like unfolds, but that's not that big of a priority for me.
Yeah, it's not something that I need.
Yeah, and they said it takes up a lot of trunk space, and I'm like, oh, cool, that's fine with me as well.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of stuff in our trunk anyway. That's what we went with.
I think that was the major decision, no? The car seat and the stroller, but the, you know, the crib and everything else, I think I can do that on my own. But this one, you needed to
driving around the stroller around the house with nothing in it. There's no baby on there. But I just push it around just to practice my navigation skills.
It's a little strange. But
the way I turn tight corners with that thing, though.
My nephew was here, and we put him in our car seat, and he was just like, "Great, nagamit na yung car seat," and I'm just like, "Calm down."
Let me tell you, there are a few people in our family who can turn a corner with a stroller as well as I can. And that's practice. That's what you get with practice.
So there you go.
Yeah,
we got the Kiko Bravo
trio. Kiko Bravo trio. Yeah, look it up. 7 people once again are nodding going, oh yeah, yeah, I needed a stroller tip right now. But that's what you get when you run the 10. You never know what's gonna come up. So that's it. That does it for the podcast. We have a lot of stuff coming up really soon.
Sure.
We have Jalen Green on the podcast really soon, so he's just fresh from his G League season and is about to enter the NBA draft, signed a sneaker deal with Adidas, and a lot of big things are happening for Filipino-American Jalen Green. He comes on the podcast very, very soon. That's it.
Thanks. Why do you keep looking at me?
Thanks for dropping by.
Yeah.
We are done.
Sure.
We are done. We'll be back.
I don't like
week.
Coming up with topics. Don't ask me to do that again.
We're never doing the 10 again, apparently.
I'm just kidding. It's okay.
We trotted it out. She tried it. She didn't like it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming onto the podcast and talking almost exclusively about just other men.
I did not.
Evan Peters, Killian Murphy, Team Jacob.
I didn't say I was in love with Evan Peters. I just said I was thinking about him.
A lot. Just a lot.
Ang galing lang niya.
Come to my life.
Actually, no, he was very attractive. It's like, he looks so good in a suit, babe.
has an impressive neck, that guy. Thanks for listening to the pod. The People's Podcast will be back again very, very soon. While you're at it, please do like us everywhere, on YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, or on Facebook, join the group, or follow us on Instagram. And the Amigo will need some talking into, maybe a TikTok account soon. Judging by his face, that was enough. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be safe. We'll catch you guys again soon.
I want a million lives. I want a billion profits when all that I got is a villainous mind. I keep a reel in the pocket while you hear the venomous lies. I do not speak like a prophet, cause I got a million styles. Let's see what's really inside. Pulling over in the whip, flying out another trip.